Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to call this meeting to order. Purpose of this meeting is to hear presentations on the administration, general insurance, ethics commission budgets. I have been notified that the following individuals will not be able to make it this evening. That's councilpersons Bell, Powers, Street, Retta, and Sheldon. Currently, we have Councilman Weiner, Councilman Cartier, Councilwoman Kilpatrick, Councilwoman Diller, and I'm Councilman Smiley. I will be chairing this meeting. And yes, you are right, that is not a quorum, but unfortunately, it doesn't mean we all go home. I'm going to ask to notify you in advance. The order of presentation will be the Ethics Commission, Law, Admin, Risk, HR, and then Finance. And Councilman Tackett has joined us, so we're now up to six. When I call the budget, whoever's going to present, if you would kindly come up to this podium here and give you a presentation. Try to save me a little bit of time, whether it works or not. I'm going to ask each one of you when you present. I'll ask in advance. If I don't hear an answer, then I'll ask whether there's anything in your budget for a grant writer. If it's there, please call our attention to it. If there's not, please make note that there is not one in there. So with that, if we can and as you come up, identify yourself for the record, please. We now have the Ethics Commission to present.
Good afternoon. I'm Johanna Bishop, Chair of the Newcastle County Ethics Commission. And no, we don't have anything in our budget for a grant writer. So if I could bring your attention, I assume that you'd all like to look at page 3 of the Ethics Commission budget. You'll see that on this bar chart, we have 7 years represented, and I think in the last 7 years, we've stayed pretty constant. We are asking for the next 2016 budget an increase of 3.36%, and that request is due in that we have new personnel, we have new legal counsel for the Ethics Commission. We also have a new administrative assistant who was hired last December. We also implemented this year a new SFI form, and with that were some costs in terms of development and getting that SFI form up and running. And believe me, changing forms, as you well know, can be a challenge. So beyond that, that's an overview of the budget. Is there a specific page that you would like to turn to and discuss? Because I don't want to belabor this any longer than we possibly need to. I know you have a full agenda.
On page 5, just to clear up for myself, the contractual services increase, is that relevant to the new attorney contract?
It is.
Is that what that is?
It is. That's specifically related to the new attorney for the Ethics Commission.
See, I didn't know she was cheaper. I'd have voted to keep her.
Well, time will tell.
Okay. Are there any questions from any members of council?
Oh, sorry, Congressman Smiley, if I could.
Congressman?
Congressman Smiley,
oh, hell no. I got enough issues in the little old 7th Council District.
Who knew? My apologies for the mistake.
You realize how many people you just scared to death? That applauding wasn't because I became a congressman, because they thought I was leaving Newcastle County. Okay, I'm sorry. Continue.
One other piece for the increase is that we will have new investigators this year as well. So we've also lost our investigative services. So that budget line is increased as well.
Okay.
It's part of the overall increase for personnel contractual services.
Are there any questions from any members of council? Anything from the public? Should have saved the best for last, but never. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Okay, next, if we can have the Office of Law, please.
Bernard Pepukai, Office of Law, County Attorney. Good afternoon, Council. I am going to be brief as well. What I have to present today is fairly similar to what I have presented in the past. Just as a preliminary matter, page 1, Office of Law, just outlines our general structure as it relates to the Office of Law, same as previously. Page 2 just indicates that our recommended budget is 1.97% more than our approved budget for fiscal year 2015. Page 3 divides our budget into certain costs. For example, 82.57% of our budget is for personnel costs. The remainder is for utilities, materials and supplies, contractual services, IGS costs, and other miscellaneous. Page 4 of your budget book indicates that there is no increase or decrease in the amount of positions that we are presenting for budget. Page 5 is our diversity comparison. Out of the 16 current employees that we have within the Office of Law, 2 are white male, 2 are black male, 6 are white female, 5 are black female, and 1 Hispanic female. Next, page 6 is just another breakdown of our office recommended budget. The biggest increase there is for contractual services, and the bulk of that amount is for the costs associated with title searches. Page 7 is another budget breakdown, pretty much similar to what was in the other pages, but just outlined a little differently. Next, if you will go to page 11, which is our accomplishments, and the biggest accomplishment is the results that we have obtained with cases that have been before the judicial body. Specifically, the Office of Law has not gone before a court, and we thus far have not received any unfavorable decisions, which is great news, and goes to the representation that we provide to Newcastle County. Page 12, our challenges is perhaps to continue to defend Newcastle County in a successful way and to continue to maintain our standards despite the challenge of finances being limited. And page 13, we have the vacancies that we have are currently 3. As far as page 14 is concerned, that deals with our contractual services and broken down. And page 15 deals with our budget by object code. If there are any specific questions with anything that I've just presented, please feel free to let me know. Okay.
Is there any funding in here for grants?
I don't believe so.
Didn't see any itemized out. Wonder maybe in contractual services.
I'm sorry?
Said I didn't see anything itemized out for a grant writer. I wonder if there might be something in contractual services or no.
Nothing.
I'm not sure what grants the law department would be eligible for, but doesn't mean you're not.
Nothing paying. That I'm aware of that was specifically designated for grant writing.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Uh-huh.
As I
else?
Said, I'm going to ask.
Thank you very much.
Councilman Cartier, you have a question?
Oh.
Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Can you just give me a little synopsis of why we do title searches? What goes...
Sheriff sales.
Is okay. I mean, it's through the row offices,
yes,
that we're doing them, basically?
Yeah, a lot of our costs is dependent on other departments. Unfortunately, if something occurs, we can't control what we have to do because we have to perform that legal representation aspect of it. So it's not necessarily generated by us.
Okay, so it's not proactive. We are just
correct.
Responding to some department.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
And yet, Councilman Cartier. Thank you. Very good presentation. I guess my line of questioning falls more to the general information for the benefit of the public I represent and myself. Looking at the sheriff sale process, it originates in the law department, does it not, sir?
Yes and no.
Yes and no.
Yes, in the sense that we may initiate some things as far as legal documents, but no, from the perspective, we're usually not the ones that say, you know, this needs to go to sheriff sale.
I think, you know, I wanted to kind of bring in the question of also, you know, we've just implemented a vacant property ordinance. We're compiling, hopefully, this very large database of all the vacant property in the county. I think there's a lot of it. I know there's a lot in my district, and there are, you know, I think a good number of these properties that are owe back taxes. I don't know at what level is the policy consideration about, you know, maybe being a little more aggressive with sheriff sales in order to clean up the vacancy issue. I went through a process in my district where your partner was very helpful. Laura Hay filed a munitions and took a property that had been a long-standing problem. I just think as we go forward and we really go after, you know, vacant properties, within the government, there needs to be personnel allocated to handle the kind of scale things that might be out there. I think there's, and that helps, benefits us as a government because we get the revenue that we're owed, helps neighborhoods. So I don't know if you have any comments about that.
I guess my next year budget, I need to add some additional funding for some, if you're willing to give it to us, you know, we're more than happy to try to, you know, to help out in any way we can with the resources we have.
So you you rely on the sheriff's, the sort of chain of, you know, well, who causes a sheriff sale to happen?
Well, there's been a number of different ways.
Okay.
I mean, we can receive a call from
right.
a council person saying,
right.
can you look into this for us?
Yeah, so that's exactly how this proceeded.
You know, and we have looked into it. We try to be, the advice we try to provide, we attempt to be fair because we don't want to
right.
get one property for sheriff sale for X amount and then, you
know, yeah.
we want to make sure we don't set any bad precedent. Of course,
right.
we can't be perfect all the time, but
no.
we try to be as consistent as possible.
I think there's a lot of potential revenue out there. We're going to find out the amount of vacant properties that are, and we know, somewhere in the government we know, you know, the amount of this overdue tax that's out there, you know, and I just foresee us having issues in the future once we get the vacant property thing really rolling where we're going to need to, you know, probably act with a little more, you know, aggressive policy position on recovering our revenue from these properties.
Councilman Tackett.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Pepperdine, on the increase in your contractual services, do you by any chance envision potentially bringing on like a new law, you know, a new lawyer just graduating, perhaps that could run those type of searches for you instead of increasing the contractual services? Because many times I understand that's something that they really do to get their experience and their foundation in the system.
Yeah, you are correct in the sense that one of the requirements of the bar is to do a title search. The benefit of contracting those title searches, however, is liability. So when you go to an outside contractor for a title search or something like that and they give you your result, if something happened or something was wrong, then the liability rests with that contractor versus the liability resting with Newcastle County.
And also, this is a discussion we've had with the other departments as they've come forward also, but given that you've had a vacancy in your first assistant county attorney since 2008 and it's carried through subsequent budgets, is that a position that, you know, obviously, do you truly need that if we're in coming up into 16, and this has been vacant since 08?
I can't speak about since 08 because, of course, I wasn't here, but I can tell you that there is a daily struggle in the law department to try to maintain quality representation with the limited amount of resources that we're working with. And I can tell you that in my magic wand scenario, every position would be filled so we can work at optimum diligence. And I'm hopeful that we will have all those positions filled in the near future.
Great answer. We've had the same question through each department, and it's come through, and it's budgeted, it's here, so we're a little bit perplexed as to why they're not being filled. So, and I guess you hope to do that.
And again, with the first assistant position, it was posted, and now it has to be reposted. So we did begin it back, I think it was, may have been like September or something, if I'm not mistaken.
Any further questions from any members of the council? Anything from the public? Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Administrative services, please.
Good afternoon. My name is Tony Gardner, Chief Administrative Services and Office of Procurement. And I think you asked a question in regards to grant writing. We do have something in our budget in regards to grant writing. And that's pretty much IS, because I oversee procurement as well as IS.
Okay, when we get to that, if you point it out, I appreciate it.
Okay. Okay, the first thing, if you guys will open up your books to page one, you have a listing of all the positions that we have. We have 14 positions within my particular group, and most of those positions are in information systems. And we follow that with procurement. So that's the breakdown of positions. So I don't want to stay too long on that page. If you look at page two of the budget, we're asking for an increase of less than 1% from last year budget. So we're going from 9 million to 9.15.
It was working. Let me check it.
So we're looking for that increase.
Can we hold 1 second, so Mr. Borg can check?
Sure.
The mic.
Okay.
We're having a hard time hearing you over the crowd. It's on. Thank you.
Testing. Yeah. Testing. Okay. Good.
Passed.
Okay. Good. Okay. So we're asking for an increase of a little less than 1% over last year. If you go to page three of your budget books, it's a breakdown by departments. And as you can see, information systems has the biggest budget, followed by procurement. You guys can take a look at that. If you have any questions, let me know. Page four, we're asking for 42 positions, but it's pretty much the same as last year. So everything is staying flat in regards to positions. So it's actually at 42. And if you want details, go to page 9 and 10, and that will give you details of everything that I just mentioned in regards to the budget and the amount of money we spent. So if you go to page 9 and 10, it'll give you a detailed breakdown of what we did in regards to salaries, the benefits, as well as training, communication, the materials, and so forth. So that gives you more details of what we did, and that pretty much explains everything.
If I may, Mr. Gardner, on
okay.
page 10, under the contractual services,
yes.
If I read this right, because I thought we had gotten rid of it before, that's where it is. We're subsidizing the cafe in the government center?
We did start that. That was something that was added this past fiscal year. Because what was taking place, they were having a hard time maintaining the profit, so we subsidize them throughout the year.
And so the 71864 technology contractors, cafe subsidy, and the grant writing. You have any idea on how much of that specifically is pulled out for grant writing?
Grant writing, I don't have it in front of me. We spend $8,000 a month in grant writing. So you can break it down.
Yeah, but that's not what is coming out of this budget. That's
yeah,
total
it's
for
part,
the county.
It's for the fiscal year, so it's part of the 6 year. Yeah, total for the year. So you're talking about the fiscal year. We're spending $8,000. So part of this will include, part of that spend is going to be a part of this budget, but part of it is from the previous year as well. So that contract will be over in the next 2 or 3 months.
Okay. I'm going to ask you to follow up with me and the members of council. What I'd like to have is the increase, let's just go with the increase of $71,864.
Okay.
That breakdown as to what dollar amount's going to technology contractor, what dollar amount's going to the subsidy, and what dollar amount's going to the grant money.
Okay, if you would, good. Please. Okay, no problem. Good enough.
And I know the subsidy because that's the reason there's no cafe at Rockwood. We were subsidizing that. That's the reason that we were shut down over there for a while.
Okay.
Because we quit subsidizing an outside vendor to come in and do work for us, basically paying somebody to have a business. Okay.
Right. Okay, good. So let's move on. If you go to accomplishments, which is on page 13, I just want to highlight, and actually I want to bring up Andrew and John. Andrew Smith, chief purchasing agent, and then John Yealy, the IS manager. And I'm going to speak on one of them. I'm going to have them speak on things that's pertaining to the divisions that they work in. The first one I want to point out for accomplishments is that in purchasing, we were able to develop metrics going forward. And the metrics is going to be really focusing on savings, diversity, local suppliers. So we built a database that's going to be keeping metrics going forward in regards to these activities. And that helps us kind of like build a structure, build standardization, and kind of like gauges where we are at any particular time. So if anyone in council or executive office needs that information, we can provide it at this particular point. Okay, so that's one of the major accomplishments. So I'm going to have Andrew come up and talk about another one in regards to GovDeals.
I'm short, so I'll bring it back down. As many of you know, in March of 2010, we introduced GovDeals to Newcastle County, where we sold all of our surplus through there. And I'm happy to report that as of this morning, we have made over $1 million in sales and revenue for GovDeals. And currently, we're working with public safety to maybe introduce it to them to sell their seized vehicles where they can get more than just sending them to Delaware Auction.
From the IS standpoint, we've had many success stories throughout the year with the very, very limited resources we have in IS, but I'm not exactly sure whether everybody knows this. We've had, we have a new computer-aided dispatch at Public Safety now. I'm working with the state of Delaware. We've worked in a new new world system, taken away Northrop Grumman. This has taken the better part of 6 to 8 months of the full support from IS with, again, limited resources and saving the county over, well, in the range of about $250,000 for that line item just in the maintenance contract. They've done a great job. We continue to support public safety as a department, again, for the whole county, but building teamwork and building avenues throughout the county. Thank you.
We'll ask Dan as well. I'll ask Dan as well to come up and speak on what he's working on in regards to IT and executive office. No, I'm bringing our array of folks up. So this is going to be quick.
Good afternoon. One of the most
identify yourself.
Daniel Shirkwist, Newcastle County,
right.
Executive Office. One of the most, I think, one of the greatest projects that we have right now is an open data. And if we're in phase one, it hasn't become fully production ready. But what this allows is it allows transparency. You can see the crime statistics, procurement, and what was discussed earlier, vacant properties. So these are all things that could be associated with open government. So that's one of the most important things I think we got. Thanks.
Okay, good. Thanks, everyone. Thank you. And so with that being said, any questions?
Do we have any? Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Thank you. Just to go back to the grant thing, how much did you say you were spending a month?
Testing.
You hear me? I can hear you. Okay. Okay, back to your question.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned in your presentation that you spend X number of dollars a month.
We spend, the contract is $8,000 per month. That's how much you spend per month.
For grant writing?
For grant writing services, yes.
And can you tell me how much we've gotten back on that $8,000 a month?
I'm not the contract administrator. We have to take a look at that. I know they're working on different projects as we speak, but I'm not sure all the details. Jim McDonald's the liaison. He works with different departments in regards to the grant writing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where that stands right now. So we set up the contract, but we don't get into the particulars of what they're doing throughout the whole project.
Can we somehow add that to the explanation of the 71864?
Yeah, well, I've asked for that piece, but Councilwoman Kilpatrick, I can tell you this. I've got my list up here. That's one of the questions I've been waiting on a detailed answer from since early March. So that's one of the fiscal questions I have out there. I've asked what applications. I've asked for copies of what federal applications for grants have been submitted and what awards we've obtained or we've received. So that question
is there. Why would even go beyond the federal? Not everything comes from federal grants.
But that's what this contract was for.
Oh, for federal
grant,
right. Federal grants.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. That's what this contract
okay.
was for,
because
federal grant,
so
right.
So you have asked who, though? I mean, if I may ask.
It was submitted to, I didn't bring my email down, it's been submitted. It was submitted to the executive and a bunch of others, and Mr. McDonald was in there as well.
Okay. So basically, we're talking again the $96,000
yes.
grant for
this
the
is
year
that,
and have not gotten an
that,
answer
that
what money we have derived from paying somebody $8,000 a month to write those grants.
Right. I am aware of a $400,000 grant that came in to PAL, but the first leg of that grant was awarded based on the work of Lori King. You
right.
could not have gotten the second part unless you got the first part.
Right.
She got the first part, then this group was placed under contract, information was turned over. They basically regurgitated everything, got in, and got the second contract corners there. But the request for the documents is there.
I wasn't here for that in that particular part, but I know my understanding that they did, the Knicks did get a grant for $500,000.
Well, it's $400,000, and that was, but they could not, that could not have been awarded without Lori Keynes getting the first part.
If Lori got the first one, Lori
yes.
could have easily written for the second one.
Yes.
I mean, I thought some of this was away from this $96,000. I thought at one point, unless it's the same contract, that we said that the police came in, public safety came in and asked if they could have money allocated for a grant writer because there were some things that were beyond Lori's expertise, although her expertise in my mind goes pretty broad. But we allocated money for that. So if somebody is writing for grants for public safety, I would think that that would be under what we allocated over and above this $96,000.
If you check, I think what we'll find is each department is now assessed a certain, well, not all departments,
right,
but assessed a certain amount that's part of the 96.
Right,
that,
I've seen that $12,000 that goes across the board.
My understanding is that it's for more than just public safety. It's for pretty much a handful of departments. It's IS, it's land use, it's community services, it's public safety. So their grant writing is not just for one particular department, but multiple departments.
Correct, and I understand that, but we've asked every department that came in here what grants have right. they gotten out of that writing, and our answer has been none.
Yeah. But I think the honest thing is it's a process, so I don't know if you can ask for returns. It may happen over time, so they may be working on something, but no grant is guaranteed. So the process, and that's with any vendor, so you put out a service, you ask for a service, and you may not get all your returns right away, but it's a process that they're working on.
Right, and but, I understand that, but you know, the one that we have to look at as the role model here is public safety, where Lori is writing for grants, and Lori gets a lot of grants. But, so we know what we wrote down to spend on her in grant writing time and what we received. We know that we are far over on the receiving side versus the expenditure side, which is what I think that we need to look at here.
Exactly, and that's why I've asked for what's been written, because I have a copy of the contract. The contract also provides that within the time frame of their contract, they're required to write a certain amount of grant applications and submit them. So for the money, I think as of this date, there should be some there. Now, yeah. Maybe they're writing them now, but I can assure you whatever comes across my desk, I'm going to be following up with those I know in the federal government to find out if they were ever actually received and submitted, because I have my doubts right now. But, yeah, that's where we are with that. But we're going to get a breakdown on that, the one piece, to see what increase is going in there.
Thank you.
It duly noted. Okay.
From the audience?
Yeah, Bob Wasserbach, County Auditor. Tony,
yes.
Page 9 under salaries and wages at the top of the page. One of the reasons for the decrease in salaries and wages is delay hiring the current vacancies within the year. Is that because your department does not need those people until mid-year, or is there some other reason?
Repeat that question again. I sketched the page.
One of the explanations on page 9 of 26, mm-hmm. one of the explanations for the decrease in salaries and wages is delay hiring most of the current vacancies until mid-year. I'm assuming that's mid-fiscal year, which would be January 1st.
Right.
But the reason is that because we don't need those people until January 1st?
Well, what I wanted to do is kind of like focus on positions we do need, and that's what I'm looking at now. So we have folks transitioning out, and those are the positions that I look to focus on. So we look to stagger, rather than have all the costs at one time, we look to stagger the positions rather than say, okay, we need all six positions at one time. So that's what the thought was behind that.
At page 18, it lists the vacancies, and I think maybe I'm reading this wrong, but there's actually 3 information systems manager positions that are vacant.
That is part of a restructuring process, so we may not actually need all these managers, but the process is trying to restructure IS in a way that's advantageous. So right now, we had IS managers in place, but we may not need that, so we're looking to restructure the IS as it stands at this point.
Thank you.
Sure. Okay. Yes, sir.
Dave Gober, Andy Finance Office. There's a question on about the cafe subsidy.
Yeah.
On page 20, the contractual details, mm-hmm. Two-thirds of the way down there, it's $23,000 is in the budget for the cafe subsidy. Yeah. It's contained in the purchasing budget.
Right, $2,000 a month.
Okay, I see it. Government center. But still remains the other two.
The other two, you still need to be right. Okay.
Any other questions from anyone, member of the public? Any comments? Thank you very much.
Okay, right, thank you.
Next, we have risk management.
Good afternoon, everyone. I promise to be very, very fast. Cheryl McDonough, Risk Manager. On page 1, just gives an overview of my department. There's been no changes in positions. Page two, we are asking for a 0.5% increase from last year, and we're crossing our fingers that we're not going to need it. Breakdown on page three of our 71% of our budget is used for workers' compensation, then general insurance, follow, and risk management medical. Page four, there's been no changes in our personnel. Page five, diversity, we're all women. Page six will be explained on the following pages of 7, 8, 9, which basically our biggest increase was employee benefits. Our other increase was for contractual services, which makes most of that is made up from the increased hiring of police officers for psychological pre-employment physicals. So that is an increase due to public safety hiring. Page 8, we had an increase in fixed charges. That's our medical and pharmacy. Our IGS costs for computers and equipment went up a little bit. Pages 9 and 10, everything remains the same. 11 and 12, goals and challenges remain pretty much the same from last year, cost containment. We're doing our best to try to do everything in-house without any outside expenditures. Vacancies, right now there's one, which is an executive assistant, which is really the executive office position. Pages 14 and 15, pretty much self-explanatory. Any questions?
Tucked in your very rapid presentation and budget. Is your department being assessed any funding for a grant writer?
Oh, no, I'm sorry, sir. It is not. It's not really an area where we need any grants.
I'm not sure that really matters. Any questions from any members of council? Anything from the public? Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Next, we have human resources.
Good afternoon. Christine Dunning, Human Resources. Page one of the chart, as you can see, it's 19 positions for Human Resources. In particular, you have the program support. Part of our staff is paid by and subsidized by the pension fund. We have some employees that are 80% with pension and 20% by the county. And one employee that is 50-50, 50 county, 50% pension funds. I don't want to go too far into this, but I put in the back in an appendix, and you can look at them later. The 28 benefit programs that we administer, also a pension summary for the last 10 years that shows you the increased cost of the pension, and that's at the back of the book. Page two, for FY16, we actually had a decrease of -2.77%, and I will get into that a little bit further on page seven, why it's 2.77. Page three, as with most departments, 75%, almost 76% of our budget is for personnel costs. In reference to diversity, we have 12 white, as far as white, three blacks, which would be two black females and one black male and one white male. And actually in HR, it's predominantly female. We do have the two males. Going to page seven, I think will help a little bit here. The decrease in far as the 2.77 is also attributed to two positions that are now at a lower step. They were offset by merit increases and the reclassification of two employees in the pension and benefits section. In reference to contractual services, you have a -19.51. That in particular is for a decrease of $100,000 that is now, the actuary fee is now going to be taken up by the pension trust. That is what that decrease is there. Page 9 shows the increase that we had in the pension benefits, the reclassifications, the compensation and pension systems, and then the decrease, which was the pension and benefits administrator and the one human resource technician. Page 10, the challenges, of course, we have the defensive driving that we are now doing countywide. In particular, we're trying to focus on those officers, I mean, those employees that drive county vehicles. Two other things that were not added on here, but they're at the back of the book. This fall, we see a need now. We've identified need for supervisory training with some of the departments. With the promotions and everything, I think there's, we have not done supervisory training in a while, so that will be for the fall. And in regards to pensions, Susan Lawler will be doing some focusing on retirements. In regards to the accomplishments, in particular, the increase in applications, we've had over 1,100 more processed applications we have done online. In particular, which probably has not been done before, we now have recruitment plans that we have to follow for each position that we are hiring. What some of the challenges that we are going to see ahead of time, and we're going to have to work also with risk management on this, is reviewing and revising existing benefit policies with the new federal changes, in particular those that are under the Affordable Health Care Act. Technology improvements, within a few months here we'll be going with all online applications with NeoGov, and in particular this is what the state does, is online applications. Sites that we will have kiosk areas for in the departments for to help individuals if they want to, they don't have a computer at home, they can use a kiosk through the department or also through our library, and we'll also provide some training too for the employees, for individuals that want to fill out an application online. In regards to page 13, we currently have three vacancies. One in the pension and one is the secretary. There is going to be interviews soon, shortly, for the secretary's position, and we just posted the pension and program analysis position. You had said something earlier. No, there's nothing in here in the HR in reference to grants for our department.
Thank you.
The only other thing, if you have a chance to look at the back part of the appendix, it's for more informational purposes on what's happened with our pension over the last 10 years, the 10 different pension plans there are, our benefit program. There's a chart on grievances. We were doing fairly well with grievances until we hit November and December months, and we had a slight increase from last year in reference to grievances, and unfortunately the trend that I'm seeing probably within the next couple months, I anticipate some more grievances, an increase in some grievances being filed. The last page is the total, this is calendar year, total full-time hires and terminations or separations from 1999 to 2014. And if you go through it, you see sort of how in the very beginning there were less full-time employees, and then through the years that had increased to a maximum of 1,555. And then after 2008 is when we had that economic downturn, the full-time positions started decreasing, and there was an increase in part-time positions. And then the bottom portion is more pictorial for you to view. At this time, I'll entertain questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Page 11 It says successfully transferred 75% of pension payroll to the Office of Finance.
That is correct. What happened was at the time, Susan Lawler was responsible for the actual payroll processing of the employees' checks. As you're aware, we have surpassed, I think, number of pensioners versus active employees. So that particular 75% of that now, all the payroll processing part for the pensioners is coming out of the finance department. However, Susan's still responsible for any kind of tax changes or anything to lay us on for the employee when they call in.
You also mentioned she's responsible now for the retirements. Is that for retirees? Also, what do you mean? As they retire, she'll be...
Well, the retirees, like anything, HR, most people think just active employees, but we also have to in HR take care of our pensioners. Pensioners call in all the time for different requests, whether it's their tax forms have to be changed, they want to do their flex benefits, their dependents change. I mean, so it's ongoing.
And she'll be their contact. Yes. Is anybody focusing on the amount of vacancies in all the departments and getting those filled, or?
Yes. In fact, like I know with HR, we had some restructuring that we did. We've recently just have had some approved, and we're trying to move on. We usually try to turn things out with between 3 and 4 months. Unfortunately, there are some obstacles that we get. I know we had one where we had to wait for backgrounds to get done for one of the row offices.
On your pension program analyst vacancy, which became vacant on January 5th, was the restructuring the reason that, I mean, you guys are in HR.
Right, it was.
And it took you 5 months to post it, 4 months. You said you just posted it.
Correct.
Is that because of the restructuring?
We restructured it.
And getting the okay.
And we got the approval, yes.
Any questions from any other members of council? Anything from the public? Thank you very much.
All right.
And last, but far from least, finance, please.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the council. I'm Dave Dalgrandi. I'm subbing for Mr. Coop, who is recuperating right now. I'll go through the Office of Finance budget. Open up page one. This year we're asking for 77 positions, which is no change over our previous year. As you can see, going across the board, we have 3 in administration, 19 in customer service, 8 in cash management, 12 in accounting and accounts payable, 11 in budget and payroll, and 24 in assessment. On page two, our budget history. With the light fund, we're asking for $13.7 million this year. 5.2 is in the light fund. 8.5 is in finance, which includes assessment. Page three. Removing out the light fund, just to have a better idea of what's going on in the operating section, we're up about 0.47% over 2015. The assessment office is asking for $2,337,539. And the non-assessment part of finance is asking for $6,140,009. All together in total, we're up $39,430 over 15, about half of which is from each sector. Page four, broken down the Office of Finance, we have the accounting and budget operations section, which includes accounts payable, admin, accounting, payroll, and budget. We're at 23% of the total. Treasury, which includes cash management, is at 21.5%. The light fund takes up 38% of our budget, and assessment is at 17%. And if you look at the Pac-Man down on the bottom right there, just like the other departments, 84.3% of our budget is comprised of salary and benefits. On page five, our position history. We're asking for the same number of positions as we had in 2015, with no change at all. the history just shows in 2013, assessment was transferred from land use into finance. That's the bump in the road there. In 15, we went up 2. 3, we added to assessment. We deleted 1 out of finance for the net increase of 2. Our diversity. The Office of Finance is comprised of 64% female, 36% male. 13.4% of our total are non-white, which is a total of nine employees. Excuse me. Page 7. So in total, as I stated earlier, we're up about 0.5% over 2015, $39,430. If you include the light tax, which is up $189,000, and that, the light tax is, as you're aware, Delmarva, the state requires us to collect state the light bill from Delmarva, and then we just pass that through back to Delmarva Power. So we're going to need about $5.2 million to cover our street light costs for 2016. Total all in, our budget is up $229,073, or 1.7%. For the detail of the object lines, I apologize earlier. On your desk is a supplemental for pages 8 through 10. I'll just look at that right now. Total salary is down $36,000. Primarily, it accounts for 77 positions. We have one that's unfunded. Included is the reclassification or upgrades of 16 positions within the assessment office and one position within Treasury. I'll go to positions when we get to that discussed in more detail. Our benefit rate is 52.8, as it has been with the other departments. Our materials supply line is up 20%. Big number, but it's about $4,000. We're seeing an increase in toner cartridges. The payroll office and our accounts payable office has to print with a special toner made just for checks. So they're about $500 a piece, and the prices have gone up quite a bit on those. And also, we have a new subscription to DNA, which helps us keep up to date with all the tax laws that are changing in regards to our payroll office. Contractual services, we do have $15,000 included for the grant writer, included in that, and that's part of the increase of $37,500. And I'll just go through the list here real quickly. We have $60,000 allocated for the printing of our tax and sewer bills, $106,005 for our financial advisors and consultants. That's a big one. Lockbox service fees, $100,000. Security pricing of bond services, $23,500. They're the main components of our contractual line. Moving on to page 10.
Excuse me, sir. Could you kind of give us somewhat of an itemization or a breakdown of financial advisors and consultants, 165. Exactly.
Yeah. We have right now 45,000 is a number for our financial consultant. The final contract hasn't been finalized yet, so that number could change a little bit. So that's 45 of that 106. The remainder is just for financial advisors that we give money for our contractual services line, just for projects to come up and things that are needed as necessary. So we keep them. We keep money in there for that particular reason.
So are the financial advisors that we're listing, is that for our investments?
Yes, sir. That's part of it, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Page 10. I have a rainbow-colored sheet here on all of our position changes from 2015 to 16. In finance, the non-assessment piece, we're swapping a senior budget procedures analyst for an accounting fiscal officer. We would like to reclassify the person who's heading up cash management right now at this point, and we have money included in our budget request to reclassify that particular position. It's just going from pay rate 29 to a 30. The ones that are in purple, the treasury manager, we reclassified or downgraded to a senior financial officer from treasury to accounting. In budget, we had a senior BPA, and we downgraded that position to a BPA as well. Moving down into assessment, in blue, the assessment office is requesting the reclassification of an admin aide to an assessment officer and also a secretary to an assessment technician. The latter is just a title for title change. The pay grade right now is the same for assessment tech and secretary. In the goal, they are requests for upgrades for the positions of assessment service supervisor, assessment supervisor, assessor one, and assessment technician. So in total, in gold, there are 14 positions there, in assessment, two others in blue, so that's a total of 16 for assessment office.
Do you have any idea what the dollar amount is?
I do.
I knew you were.
Glad you asked.
I'm sure.
It's about, the assessment office is close to $40,000 in salary, and the treasury office is $4,300 for the accounting and fiscal office. So a total of about $43,000, $44,000. That is included in our request for 2016. Okay. Moving on to page 11, our accomplishments for this year. I won't go through them all. We're happy that we did our AAA bond rating was reaffirmed from all three rating agencies. We received the unmodified opinion for our 2014 annual financial statements. We received our CAFR reward for the 34th consecutive year. Moving down to budget and payroll, as Ms. Dunning mentioned earlier, we transferred the pension payroll process over into our payroll office, which was a great thing for the county and for the pensioners and for the future pensioners of the county. GFOA gave the budget office CAPS award for the 25th consecutive year. Move on to 12. We're setting up an ACH, direct debit program for CDH, so the folks who are involved in the program can make monthly payments directly through direct debit. It helps us with our collections and it helps make the process run smoother. We also added prompts in Spanish for our payment by phone program, so when folks call for tax and sewer payments, they can now have the option of hearing someone speak in Spanish. Moving down to buildings and collections, we completed the RFP process for printing and mailing of the bills for tax, sewer, and maintenance corporations. We continue to bill and collect annual fees on behalf of the maintenance corporations. Right now, we have 80 maintenance corps that are involved in this program, and that's about 10,000 homeowners. So it's a pretty popular program.
Let me ask you a question on that again. Sure. When we first revamped that process, let's say, and we put in the $6 per house, and that was geared to pretty much cover the cost. We haven't touched that.
Right now, we look at that fee every year.
Okay.
So
we're still comfortable with that?
It's at $6.40 for it.
$6.40, okay.
Yeah. So we're good. Yep. Moving over to assessment on 13. Assessment sets a total of 13,802 parcels during calendar year 14, resulting in an increase of $283 million in assessed value. So we're happy about that for sure. Updated 26,000 ownership records. That's touching almost 10% of the parcels that the county has. So it's remarkable. We also removed tax exemptions in 2014, which resulted in an increase of $64.5 million to the county's property tax base. And most importantly, also the schools also benefit from that as well. Moving to 14, accounting goals. Our goal is to maintain our excellence in financial reporting for both the CAFR and the CAD, preserve our bond rating. Over in cash management on 15, we're looking to assess new modules in the cash sharing system for potential use in the county. One thing that we're happy about, we're implementing credit card use in all the libraries. Right now we have three libraries using credit cards. Hopefully by June we'll have every county library accepting credit cards, which will be great. Also we're looking into evaluating new technology related to cash management where our taxpayers can come in and prepay. There's some requests that folks that could pay monthly on a monthly basis and things like that. So we're looking at those avenues as well. Over to 16, the challenges of our office. The Hansen system in Tier 2, and many of you are aware, it's an old through all programs. Currently, the finance office is working with procurement and the IS office on a request for information, an RFI, to seek a new financial system and a new billing system, with potentially with the hopes down the road of replacing Hanson and the tier system. Also, we've had discussions of rolling out kiosks in the areas in the county departments and facilities that don't have aren't able to accept payments for castle or county services. We're looking to do that. And like I said earlier, one thing is getting the credit card machines up and rolling in all the libraries. And also in September 10th and 17th, we're also going to have tax collections going on at the Appaquinimic Library. We're going to staff employees from the Treasury Office down in the Appo Library to accept payments from people who are below the canal that would like to pay in person and not come all the way to the government center. So we're just trying to get ourselves out into the field and be a little more visible to the taxpayers. I will leave it at that and open myself to questions if anyone has any questions.
Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Thank you. I'm going to ask this just because Councilman Sheldon and I had a discussion on this the other day, and he is not here. He, I know, has had constituents ask if there's a possibility that we will get apps for payment.
It's one of the things that we're reviewing with our needs.
Okay.
And we'd have to see the feasibility of how that all relates to our current structure, our current system, and then the RFI going out for our new financial system, that's going to also be probably something you'd have to work into as well. So ultimately, that's where the progress is going these days.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that when we talk to constituents and we talk about paying bills, yeah, that Newcastle County is very antiquated in talking to people that have moved here from other places.
Right. Yep.
I will say they cash a check quicker than the state does, though. Councilman Taggart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dave, just for clarification on page 13 again, you touched very heavily on the fact of the removal of the tax exemptions, and I'm going to guess probably that's because they either moved out of the state or passed away, predominantly would be the reason for that?
Yes, sir. It's part of the review process. Every year the assessment office is going through, and you know they're taking the ones off as that they're fully aware of, and then they're also spot-checking a few as they come along and making sure that they're still entitled.
Right. Well, that's what I said. And then, because you very clearly point out how much we gained from the removal, but then the next line you just say, received in the process 1,506 applications for exemptions, but you don't say how many were there, and obviously there had to be somewhat of a loss because now they're getting the exemption. So how did that cancel out what we just said we got on the previous line?
Can I phone a friend?
You don't have to give me exact numbers. Thought it was funny. I mean, you kind of really heavily pointed out, you know, the removal, but then.
Well, this year there was an overall increase, net increase, by taking the exemptions off and putting new ones on. There was a net gain in revenue to the county as a result of that.
Right.
I have it in my finance revenue presentation. It's in there. I just didn't bring it up here with me.
And you don't have a process per se where there is a. Everybody needs to go through a requalifying process every so often, or it's only you're doing a little sampling every once in a while and seeing what you can pull in.
So, my friend, Mr. Doug?
You don't have to check, do you?
No, you're fine.
Okay. We do not have a staff check every year. In 2008, there was an internal audit that suggested we were in 3 years, but we simply do not have a staff to do that. We administer something like, including SDCs,
we count on the neighbor who knows that the neighbor is no longer there to turn them in. Anything else? Any other members of council? Anything from the public? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. I've got a few things before we wrap up with your leisure. Is there anything under other from council?
Let's go ahead. I have those numbers for the grant writing, $71,000. If you want to give it to me now?
Yeah, if you want.
Okay, for the grant writing is $10,000 allocated. The cafe is $24,000. And the technology, is 37,000. So that's the breakdown for the 7-1-1.
Thank you very much. Okay.
Mr. Smiley, sir?
Yeah.
The administration is planning on coming forward in three omnibus legislations for capital. Would you like me to give you a quick overview?
Yeah,
now?
If you would, please.
Sure. Amendment number one is the Southern Regional Park. We'll be coming through with an adjustment for that. Amendment number two is for EMS stations and public safety, in particular the Odessa Paramedic Station. And number three is Carousel Park, and that's the DENREC funding coming in for Carousel.
The Odessa Paramedic Station?
It is. Yes.
And then the Carousel?
Correct.
Would you say what funding is that? Federal funding?
DENREC.
Is this Martin?
Yep.
Can you send me? Thank you. And I'll get a copy. We'll get a copy of this to all the council members. Okay. Anything else? Okay. I'll be quick, but this needs to be said, and I'm aware that the recordings are listened to, so just want to go over some things here real quick. First off, Wednesday's council discussion of the budget hearings has been canceled. That's the 13th, but we are still scheduled to meet on the 18th to discuss. That gives council a little more time to evaluate what's been presented to us. This is the final budget hearing for the FY 2016, and as co-chair of finance and a member of county council, I want to very clearly put a few things on the record. Number one, these are issues that both I and other council members, and it's just a small part of the information we've been waiting on. As of March 24th, 2015, I and council have been waiting on the investment information to be presented. We've had several presentations, none of which even come close to providing the information we've requested. I've now resubmitted that, and because Mr. Coop is out, no one else can provide it. So we've been since March 24th. Since March 19th, I've been waiting on information as to the expenditures related to Channel 22 and Channel 28, with nothing coming forward. Since April 28th, been waiting for information in regards to the Artesian and Commercial property situation as to whether there were any errors there, overpayments, underpayments, and were any of these, any entities reimbursed or assessed more funds. That has not been coming. Since early March, we've had the question in on the grant applicant, the grant writer, and the applications. Recently, we've asked for information on the sewer impact and capital recovery fees based on the information where we received in council where it became a credit instead of a liability. We've continually asked and have yet to receive a reasonable explanation as to why a department will generate revenue. That revenue will go into the general fund. Then when that same department needed funds for an upgrade or something, the reserve account was attached to get that revenue. Where, when the money goes into the general fund, where's those funds being expended? These aren't asked to attack or besmirch anyone. This is important information. I know it's more important to me than some others, but in order for me to fairly evaluate a budget, I need clarity into the funds that come in, funds that are going out. That is not happening. This is the first budget since I've come on council where I've not been able to get answers to fiscal questions. And I just want to make it very clear right now, all the budget information is currently tabled. If this council was to vote this budget tonight, to be required, I'm telling you right now, it would not happen because I'm not comfortable lifting that legislation from the table for a council vote. Hopefully by the time it's due, we'll get answers. I'm not happy if this county is losing money, but I'd like to know so we can all work together to see what we need to do differently, if we even need to do. Comes a time, and I think this is it, where we need to step up and everybody needs to realize open and transparent government means more than making sure the public knows when they can sleep under the stars or dance in a park. They have a right to know what's going right, they have a right to know what's going wrong, and they have a right to have both bodies of government work together to overcome those obstacles and present them. I'm comfortable we can get a balanced budget because we've got the reserves to do it. But I don't want to surprise like when I came into council 6 months from now, find out we're running a red line budget where we're spending more than we're getting in. And we allocated and we approved a budget that didn't show fairly to the people in Newcastle County and to the council members. So hopefully that information will come forward and the people will get what they deserve in an open and honest budget. Nothing else? Can I get a motion?
Second.
Adjourned. Second. All in favor?
Aye. All right. Aye.
We still do not have a quorum, so there'll be minutes outstanding.
But it's honeyweeds and grass, and it looks like it's raining.